Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this very special edition of the Strang Report podcast. I am so honored to have my longtime friend, Samuel Rodriguez, who has written a new book called From Survive to Thrive, How to Live a Holy, Healed, Healthy, Happy, Humble, Hungry, and Honoring Life. I had the privilege of publishing this book and a couple of other books by Sam in the past. I believe that this is the best and perhaps his most important because of how timely it is. So stay tuned. Sam Rodriguez is one of the most interesting and articulate communicators I know. You're going to enjoy our conversation about From Survive to Thrive.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Sam. Thank you for fitting me in. I know you're real busy and we had to kind of like juggle even to find a time to talk. Your book's been out now a month or so, and I understand it's doing very well. And I am particularly intrigued by this subtitle. In fact, you must have taught this before, to live a holy, humbled, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, and honoring life. And maybe did you do a sermon on that or something? Because it seemed to me that I actually listened to it so I could write it down. Now, this was, you know, sometime in the last year. I thought, you know what? I need to have that in front of me. Because, you know, I want to live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, and honoring life. So tell me where you came up with that phrase and what you hoped to accomplish in this book.
Well, first, thank you for having me, dear friend. Yeah, indeed. It was a sermon series that became a teaching series. We expanded it, live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life. It became known as the seven H's. If you live out these seven H's, they're all biblically substantiated. If you live out these seven H's, all of these H's have a promise in Scripture. All of them. If you live a holy life, if you pursue righteousness, there's a deliverable on the other side. It's called favor. Holiness actually attracts the favor of God. So if all of that is biblically substantiated, I laid it out as a rubric and put it together in the framework of From Survive to Thrive. Steve, every single person right now listening to your podcast can fall into one of these three respective categories. Every single listener right now is either failing, surviving, or thriving. It could be in your marriage, your ministry, your career, your personal walk with Christ, your health, whatever it may be. You're either failing, surviving, or thriving. If I were to engage a biblical narrative as a metaphor, every single person is either in Egypt, the desert, or the promised land. And I have seen historically, anecdotally, you look at people, you assume they all die in Egypt. They don't. The vast majority die in the desert. They never make it to the promised land. They die in perpetual survival mode. So the vast majority of people, you would ask them, are you failing? No. Are you surviving? Yes. Are you thriving? No. The vast majority of people are in the survival category. We all must survive, but we shouldn't die in the desert of survival. We shouldn't be satisfied with milk, with manna when there's milk and honey waiting in the promised land. And the vast majority of people, all they do is die as survivors and truly never thrive. This book literally lays out the biblical prescription on how to remove life's lids, L-I-D-S. Lids. How do you remove the lid of perpetual survival mode? How do you remove the lid of perpetual victimization? How do you remove the lid of I'm okay and I'm okay to be just okay in perpetuity? How to remove the lid of fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement, shame, the past. How to remove the lid that somehow stifle our God-ordained destinies. So this book, Live a Holy, Healed, Healthy, Happy, Humble, Hungry, Honoring Life. With that life, you could do nothing less than thrive.
Well, you know, I think this is so significant because I know you well enough to know that you actually embody what you teach. And as I've been reading the book, I've been reflecting about how long I've known you. Now, you know I've been covering the Christian community for 45 years. And I mean, we even did one of the first articles on Kenneth Copeland when he was just getting started, believe it or not. And
wow.
And we've covered, you know, the various scandals. You know, thankfully, it's only been a handful, but, you know, they've been painful. We covered Paul Kane, who did not really finish strong. And, you know, the interesting thing is that you, how do I say this without sounding demeaning, but you kind of came out of nowhere. You know, you're a Pennsylvania guy. And
this is true.
The first time that I heard about you, you were kind of known as a boy wonder preacher. And you had a message called The Third Day. And it was right around the turn of the century. And everyone enjoyed, you know, you preaching. And somehow or other, we connected. You ended up visiting us down in Orlando. I remember, didn't we go deep sea fishing?
We did. With Mike Bickle, we did. And yes, we did.
And we had fun. And you know, you seemed like a kid, wet behind the ears. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give this guy a lecture. So I gave you a little lecture about how you needed to really stay strong or whatever. I don't even remember. But over the years, if I feel led, I've, you know, I guess trying to be a big brother or something. But, you know, I would have had no idea, none, zero, no idea at all, your odyssey, because you started the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Council, which is arguably one of the biggest Christian organizations, while a lot of evangelical groups have started going liberal in some ways, you guys have stayed very strong to biblical principles and, you know, just basic conservative values, which I admire so much. And then you have had access to presidents. That alone ruins most preachers. You know, either they become real arrogant, like they have really arrived, or they become lapdogs for those in power. But you have spoken to power. I mean, I know enough about it. I even tell the story in one of my books on Trump on how you actually gave him kind of his talking points on how to reach the Hispanic community. And he has won over a huge percentage of the Hispanic community, especially those who are, you know, Bible-believing Christians. And then, you know, we were all so proud of you when you got to pray at the inauguration. I mean, you know, you and I come from the same denominational background, and nobody in our denomination had ever even been asked before. And yet you seem to have your head screwed on straight. I think it must be because you're married to Eva. And
this is true.
And, you know, and she helps keep you in line. But I also have seen you up close and personal over meals, in social settings, at board meetings, strategy meetings. I've seen you upset. I've seen you motivational. And you're just very, very consistent. And I think the reason I'm saying that is not to, you know, butter you up, but because I want the listener to know that when you read your book, it's authentic. Now, you know, it's like the old country song says, nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. But I'm not a gambling man, but I would put a wager that you're one of the good guys. And I just thank God for you doing that. And so anyway, now that I've said my piece, how do you respond?
No, again, it's by the grace of God I am what I am, 1 Corinthians 15:10. And this, I do live out this book. I understand every single door, Steve. I fear the Lord. It sounds awkward, but I fear the Lord more than I fear man. And what my life in private, the Sam Rodriguez in the mirror, it's much more important than the Sam Rodriguez on stage and even the Sam Rodriguez in front of millions or billions in inauguration. I fear the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. So I've had my encounter of God has been so viable. I don't doubt God for a second. And I know people go like, well, you go through a moment where there's one iota of doubt. There's moments I have questions. I do question. I have conversations with God. I go, God, I don't understand why this, why that. But my belief in God will never, ever, you know, sway away from 105% certainty. Because of that, I want to live the kind of life that is reflective of who he is, knowing that he's a sovereign God. knowing that my private encounter will lead to public elevation for his namesake, knowing that I can't drink the Kool-Aid. The moment that I get the glory or that I seek the glory, that I come after the glory, that's the day that it's over. And the same God that opens doors is the same God that shuts doors down. So I don't want to rely on my gift primarily. I want to rely on his grace and his glory and let the gift come and support the grace of God. And so that's how I live. These seven H's, I've learned them. It wasn't perfect in the beginning when Sam Rodriguez was 19, 20, 21. It was Sam Rodriguez learning, wow, this rubric really works. Holiness really works. Living a healed life really works. Healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, healthy really works. All these seven H's really serve together as a powerful concoction, an antidote, a prescription that if we take it, my goodness, we will not survive. We will thrive, Steve. And it changed the way I used to pray. Listen, it's in the book, but let me share it with you now. When I used to survive, and I was in survival mode for a while, I would pray like this, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. I promise, bless me. I'm going to do the following things. Bless me, bless me. I no longer pray like that because thrivers don't pray, Lord, bless me. Thrivers pray, Lord, make me a blessing. My prayer life has changed. I don't even pray, Lord, answer my prayer. I say, Lord, make me the answer to someone else's prayer. There's a difference. You know, to survive, you got to learn to climb out of hell. But to thrive, you got to learn to bring down heaven. There's a difference. There is a difference. To survive, you got to have to ask God to forgive your sins. But to thrive, you have to be willing to forgive those that offended you and came against you. There's a difference between surviving and thriving. It's what Jesus said in John 10:10. The enemy came to rob, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life, and not just any life, but an abundant life. That's thriving. And I would argue that even many Christians never truly experience an abundant life. They're saved, but they're living, but not living abundantly.
And part of it is because they don't get this teaching, and they're not able to figure it out on their own. You know, your book, I think, will open up a lot of eyes. One of the things that I noticed was that you use King David's story as a roadmap. What can we learn from King David?
King David, we know the story of King David from the beginning all the way to the end, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the dysfunctionality embedded in the family, along with the great heroic achievements and accomplishments. One of the great epiphanies, revelations embedded and brought out from the book is this idea of the five stones. And I write about it extensively. And I even kind of, in tongue-in-cheek, critique, in a good way, my fellow preachers who have, throughout the course of time, have attempted to explain why five stones. And you've heard this, Steve. You've heard maybe it was a foreshadowing of the fivefold ministry in the New Testament, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Maybe it's because Goliath had five brothers, says where, who. All of these things, these speculations. So in the book, I finally bring this issue to closure. I tell you why, 100% certainty, David picked up five stones. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Because he did. Are there any questions? That's it. My point is because he picked up five stones. Here's my point. And let me use it as a metaphor. He did not just pick up one stone. He picked up five. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't be one stone Christians. We have more than one stone. We're not just made to confront one giant in life. Whatever comes our way, we have enough arrows in the quiver, stones in the shepherd's bag. We have enough in Christ, who is in us, the hope of glory, to confront every single giant that ever comes against us. So that's what it means. Five stones means he picked up more than one. He had more than one stone. You and I have more than one stone. We have more than one battle in us. Sometimes we got to bring down our giants. Sometimes we have to confront the giants that are threatening our children or our children's children. There are so many stones, health-related, financial-related, ministry-related, career-related, marriage-related, relational-related, whatever it may be, you have enough stones. The great news is that in Christ, you have everything you need, not just to survive, but to thrive.
You know, one of the things you deal with in the book is the coronavirus. So your book is very, very up to date because, of course, this only exploded on the scene either in February or March, depending on how you define it. Talk us through that, because that has really been a crisis for just every man, woman, and child, really, in the country. I mean, even those of us who have done pretty well during this period, which we have here at Charisma Media, thanks be to God, but it still affects, you know, you can't go into a store or a restaurant without a mask, and there's, you know the whole deal. Talk about the coronavirus. I mean, we're still dealing with that. And, you know, they're even talking about a national mask mandate or something, which we already have a mask mandate down here in Florida. But just talk to me about that.
No, indeed. It's in the book because it becomes really personal. My entire family went through COVID the first week of July. We all went through COVID. I went through it. I was primarily asymptomatic. And by primarily 97-98%, I'm an avid runner because of my running regimen, the blood of Jesus above all things, but because of my exercise regimen, the vitamins I take that I've taken for years, for 20, 30 years, I was primarily asymptomatic. Matter of fact, I ran better during COVID than out of COVID, ironically enough. I did better timing in my running. But my family really was hit. So this thing is real, without a doubt. However, in the book, I explain about how we can either survive COVID or we can thrive out of it. We can thrive out of it. And those that physically you went through COVID and those that are going through it as a nation, as a world, the economic collapse, the melees, the lockdowns, the overextension, the encroachment on our God-given rights. So I explain that. In a matter of fact, I lay out a course of how to come out of it. I lay out a course of what to do now that if you're in it and what to do post facto. And here's what I'm believing for, Steve. You could call me naive. Here it is. I'm believing that lockdowns will be replaced with open heavens. Instead of lockdowns, open heavens. And I am preaching open heavens right now in my church and our ministry. I'm not going to focus on lockdowns. I am pushing back against the government inequality, bigoted, discriminatory practices in keeping liquor stores open while shutting down churches. Jack Daniels will never be more important than Jesus or more essential than Jesus. So I am pushing back indeed. However, I do believe we're going to see a move of God out of this. We're going to come out of this and we're going to see a reaping of a harvest like we've never seen before. So it gives you a prescription on how to come back economically, how to come back with creativity and innovation. We discovered what's essential. Steve, in the book, I write about holy quarantines. I talk about the fact that when we are all in lockdown mode to a great degree, now in states, certain states are more open, certain are shut, like California, where I'm from, in New York, we're in lockdown mode in California again. And some of the greatest encounters took place in scripture behind closed doors. Remember the woman, the widow that encountered the prophet Elisha, whose husband had passed away and she was indebted. She had her sons. They're about to take away her sons. The prophet walks in there and says, shut the door. Read it. He says, shut the door. Where are your jars? They brought more jars in. They were all filled with oil. They paid off their debts. God fills us with fresh anointing when we have private encounters, when we are personally just aligning ourselves with the word, the will, and the way that is God. So I do believe out of this lockdown, out of this pandemic, we're about to see an awakening that will lead to a revival, that will lead to cultural reformation, that will lead to a harvesting of souls. It will make Azusa look like an opening act and the Jesus movement look like the foreword to a book.
Boy, that's exciting. You know, there's so much that you cover in this book. I'm just looking through it. You know, you talk about the concepts of love and honor. What is the relationship between the two, and how do we show love and honor to one another in these incredibly divisive times?
Yeah, absolutely. If love is the face of forgiveness, then honor is the child and of love. Because when you love, you honor. So forgiveness is, love is the face of forgiveness. Love gives birth to honor. That's the pecking order. And when you love, you truly do honor. You, like Sam Rodriguez, you alluded to the grace-filled, God-ordained trajectory by the grace of God alone. But I honor my spiritual moms and dads. I knowing that I wouldn't be at where I'm at if not for the pioneers that paid the price and paved the way. It's relationships, like my relationship with you, certain catalytic relationships that took place throughout the course of my entire journey, that God engaged these relationships in a facilitative manner to launch out and develop our ministry. And so I honor Steve Strang. I honor Thomas Trask, someone that you and I both know. He was a spiritual father for me. I honor individuals like this. I honor Billy Graham's legacy. I've got a chance to serve with Billy on his board. I met Dr. Billy Graham, and he inspired me indeed. There are individuals that I honor wherever I go, on stage and off stage, privately and publicly. I honor my parents, Steve. My parents are still with us by the grace of God. They're close to 80 years of age, and I honor them. I honor my wife's mother, who is still with us, because I looked at my wife and said, it is my job to make sure that your mom is being honored in every sense of the word. So we have to honor our parents, our spiritual parents, our physical parents, those that came before us, those that paved the way. That culture of honor, to me, there's a challenge in the emerging generations, in the millennial and Z generations. That term of honor seems to be a little bit cloudy, and we need to somehow share with these generations, transfer a mantle of honor, not only for our good, but for their good. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, it is the first commandment with a promise. And actually, your longevity is connected to your honor.
How does your message of From Survive to Thrive speak to the national crisis that we're living through?
Imagine this nation right now. Holy cow, Batman. What a year. What a year. And not just COVID, by the way. Political unrest, social unrest. You name it, even the ambiguity regarding election outcomes, the lack of confidence in the outcome itself, the validity of the outcome, right? We arguably, we've never been down this road before. We really haven't. We really haven't. Where all these things, like the perfect storm emerged, what will we do as a nation? Will we be in a fetal position? Will we be satisfied with eating manna and drinking water from the rock and going around in circles? Will we die in the desert of procrastination, excuses, justificational rhetoric? Will we die in the desert of murmuring and gossip and looking back at Egypt? Will we die in that desert, or will we move forward and cross the Jordan and step into the land of promise? I'm speaking biblically, metaphorically speaking, but as a nation, I believe we will, Steve. I believe we won't just survive. I believe the Christian church, we demonstrated that in the past election. We're not done yet. You know what I love? I love, like, the obituaries written every 4 years. This is the last year of Christian evangelical influence. This is the last year that Christians will have influence. And every single time around, we break and shatter records. More Christians voted than ever before. More Latino Christians voted pro-life, pro-religious liberty, pro-biblical justice than ever before. Florida, Texas, Nevada, even in California. Amazing. The numbers are the biggest numbers that we've ever had, because God is not done with America, and America is not done with God. And we shouldn't be happy with just surviving. This nation needs to thrive, but it will only thrive. It will only thrive when, number one, the church goes 2 Chronicles 7:14, when we repent and turn from our wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal the land. It begins with the church, and I'm talking about the church collectively, because we are guilty of the sin of complacency. We are guilty of the sin of building altars while not standing committed to tearing down the false altars and the Asherah poles. So we're good in building churches and building platforms. We're terrible in confronting the lies in culture and society with truth and love, because we want to be politically correct. And when the church wakes up, America will not survive. America will thrive.
Well, I believe that. And one of the things that I admire about you and your ministry and your life is that you speak kind of out of your overflow. Is that a good way to say it? You know, what you're preaching, it's a message that you want to get out, you know, reaching the younger generation, having America thrive, as you just put it. You know, being in the publishing business all these years, a lot of people, you know, they think, okay, I wonder what book would sell. I wonder what topics people are interested in right now. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but it's just a very different way of looking at it than when you've got a fire in your belly, so to speak, and you're trying to communicate this when you preach, when you're on TV shows, when you write a book. So I think that this is a now word for America right now, and I really, really encourage people to pick up a copy of From Survive to Thrive by Samuel Rodriguez. It's available, you know, the whole book industry's changed, but the book is widely available. And of course, if all else fails, you can always get it from Amazon.com and some of the other booksellers online. And it really is worth the read. I'm reading it right now, and I'm enjoying it. You have an excellent command of the English language and a way with words. A lot of religious books, you have to kind of plod through them to try to figure out what the author's trying to say. But you're very, very clear. So that's my endorsement. You know, full disclosure, I published the book. Full disclosure, I'm one of your biggest fans. I've seen you thrive, and I've seen you survive. I can think of a couple of times when early in your ministry, all kinds of people were coming against you and false accusations and everything else. And, you know, you came through, and if anything, it helped make you stronger for some of the stuff you've had to deal with since then. But I'll go ahead and give you the last word as we wrap up this podcast.
Every single person right now listening to this, please push back on perpetual survival mode. We all must go through to get to. The God of the process is the God of the outcome. Remove the lid. Don't live life with a lid. Let the Holy Spirit come in. Read this book. Apply the biblical principles embedded, laid out in this book. And I promise you, the lids will come off, and you and your family will not just survive, you will thrive. Which means what? Your children will not inherit your sins. Your children will inherit your blessings. Get ready to thrive.
Boy, that's exciting and a good way to finish. I'm going to encourage my listeners to send this podcast, put it on social media, email it to someone. We have to get out this word, encourage people to get the book. And I want to thank my listeners for doing this. It's as you send the podcast around and as you tune in every day, it's why it's exploded. In fact, I will announce that just in the last 72 hours, my podcast have passed 6 million downloads in 2020.
And congratulations. Woo!
I would have never thought, but that is a great milestone, and I just wanted to share it with my listeners. And we still have a few more days left in 2020, so hopefully this podcast will be shared far and wide. Thank you for listening today to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network, and thanks again to Samuel Rodriguez for writing this book, for taking time to be on the podcast, but mainly for being the leader in the body of Christ that you are during these very important times of transition in our country. Thank you again. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.